Chris Gasper here, sports columnist for the Boston Globe. I want to let you know about a great new daily podcast we're launching with WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. It starts Monday, October 2nd, and it's called Season Ticket. It's all about Boston sports and beyond. Here's a taste of what to expect with my guest, Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe sports columnist. Dan, let's start with the incendiary comments from President Donald Trump that started this all.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired!
So the NFL responded, Dan, to President Trump's caustic comments about the NFL anthem protesters with statements of disapproval, an unprecedented display of civil disobedience, defiance, and a show of solidarity. When you look at this, and particularly locally, with the New England Patriots, this was the first time we saw any Patriots player take a knee during the anthem protest, which started way back with Colin Kaepernick. Is that surprising to you in light of the fact that, really, if you look at the Patriots, there's not another team in the NFL that's as closely aligned with President Trump?
Correct. The Patriots are, in fact, Team Trump. You can go back to the quarterback with the hat in the locker, the coach writing a letter of support, which was read by the candidate when he was candidate Trump a year ago. And the owner, who just loves Donald Trump, flying around Air Force One, has a ring made for him. You have all that here. They are Team Trump. I thought that in the lead-up to the games on Sunday, this was going to be a historic day in the NFL on Sunday. It certainly was here. And to get to your point about locally, I thought once Bob Kraft issued the statement in the morning in which he basically gave his players permission to protest, demonstrate, then they were free to do that without being punished by the coach. And to me, that was a seismic shift in philosophy in Foxborough, which was to say, if a guy goes out there and wants to take a knee or raise a fist or whatever it is, we're not going to like punish that guy, not play him or punish him or fine him or what have you. I don't know what went on inside the four walls of the locker room before they went out there, but it was an unusual demonstration by Patriot players, drew the wrath of the crowd.
I think that surprised some people. I mean, we are in the bluest of blue states. We always sort of joke, you and I, about Patriots fans. It's normally their team can do no wrong. They were the first ones to leap to the defense of the team. But in this particular case with the anthem protest, it's one of the first times I can really think of where the Patriots team and the players and the fans were not aligned together.
Absolutely. And it's a very interesting point and observation that this is unusual here since, by and large, Patriot fans feel very strongly about their team, but they are also kind of a red, white, and blue crowd. I mean, we are all Patriots. You can go back to that. So I thought it was a lot, and in retrospect, probably not that surprising given how teed up it was. People were kind of waiting to see what would happen. And very unpatriot-like and very unusual to have any kind of a demonstration by their own players and players all doing kind of different things. They weren't all aligned and doing the same thing.
And the one thing I want to say in terms of the Trump angle, what makes it really interesting from a Patriots standpoint is that some of the key people on the Patriots, the owner, Robert Kraft, the coach, Bill Belichick, and then you had Tom Brady with critical comments on WEI.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly disagree with, you know, what he said and you know, thought it was just divisive. And, you know, like I said, it's, you know, I just want to support my teammates. And I always set out, I'm never one that says, oh, that's wrong or that's right or that's, but I do believe in what I believe in.
For Tom Brady, I mean, that's bold. That qualifies as bold activism.
Yes.
If ever there was a player who was like the Michael Jordan of the NFL, the whole Republicans buy shoes too, I don't want to alienate anybody, it's Tom. So he sort of went out on a limb a little bit here by going against Trump, who is his friend, and you have, as we mentioned, Robert Kraft with critical comments.
Yeah, it's interesting that those two, I mean, have been a little bit more putting their toe in the water and making giving opinions that aren't necessarily in step with the president. Certainly the owner issuing that statement in the morning, he did not mention Trump by name, which I thought was interesting. But he's in a box here, which he's done before. This is Deflategate in the political arena, which in Deflategate, he wanted to make nice with his fans and stick up for them. He also wanted to keep his relationship with the commissioner and do the whole grab-ass thing with the commissioner, which he's good at both of those things. So that put him in a little bit of a conflict. I think it was the same thing on Sunday where he loves his position of at the seat of power. He loves flying an Air Force One.
Being in the Air Force One, wearing the Air Force Ones.
I mean, no one loves stars more than this guy. You can bring Floyd Mayweather around. You can get in a plane with J-Lo and A-Rod. It doesn't matter. If you're famous, he loves you. So no one's more famous or powerful than the president. So Bob Kraft has that interest, and he loves that. But at the same time, he's got 53 players, you know, 70% of whom are African-Americans, who are probably not cool with what was said Friday night in Alabama, who are saying, hey, where's our owner here? Where's the leader in this thing? Are we allowed to express ourselves, or is the owner going to allow the president to insult us and embarrass us and use bad words about our families? So I think that Bob Kraft had to, like, serve both constituencies and did a good job taking care of his players on Sunday morning. That was good.
One thing that I think is interesting and that I want to talk about with these protests is how they've been interpreted, not just here, but I think really around the rest of the country and a lot of those stadiums. A lot of people obviously took to booing because they felt it was disrespectful and disrespectful to the military. And Devin McCourty, who sort of organized the one here in New England, went out of his way to explain that that was the last thing the players intended.
Guys have family members, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters that serve, and they were really conflicted about it. But I think all of us want a message that goes out of unity, being together, obviously as a team and also as a fraternity of NFL players.
And I think that you want to have guys step up and explain this is not what it's about. I thought, you know, they kind of went on the offense there before anyone was allowed to ask questions, say, this is how we feel. Please don't interpret it this way. And that's an important stand-up thing to do. And I will say this about your remarks to Brady's position. It would have been nice if he had done that on Sunday. I still feel like he took the temperature.
Bill basically did Donald Trump.
He's still taking the temperature.
But he basically did, I would say, Bill Belichick basically did Donald Trump's job for him. I mean, literally followed. He silenced those players. I mean, I was there. In terms of trying to talk to guys after the game, I flat out asked one player who said, I just want to talk about the game. I said, do you want to talk about, just want to talk about the game, or have you been instructed to just talk about the game? There was sort of a pause. And he looked and he said, I just want to talk about the game. It was not very convincing, to be honest.
And that's unfortunate and weak on the part of Bill Belichick, I would say. He has been weak in this thing. He is not a weak man. He has been weak in this thing. You do not write that letter to Donald Trump. Allow him to broadcast that letter and broadcast the fact that you rewrote it so that it would sound even better. And then say, I'm not political, and have no reaction when the same candidate who's become president insults your fans, insults your league,
calls out all your players.
And then you stand there and say you have no opinion, and then issue the next day a bag of words which have no meaning whatsoever, just that, oh, I respect my players. Oh, no, stop the presses. Every coach respects his players. That was a complete wimping out, weak move by the coach, and he should not get off the hook for it. If you want to have no opinion, just say, I have no opinion. I'm a weak man. You know, if you want to be LeBron James and say, I'm taking this side, and here's why, do that. Take Donald Trump's side. Say, here's why I believe in him, and do that. But you can't have it both ways and then withdraw and say you are not political and have no opinion.
You know why he's doing it. It's the whole, you know, football is sort of a distraction thing. I mean, that's what it is.
Don't write the letter to the guy so we can broadcast it to the country on the eve of the election.
No, it's a good point. It's a very valid point. I mean, you have your opportunity to participate and express your views and to let the president leverage that. But then when the players try and do it, it seems like he's not against it. But I definitely wouldn't say Bill Belichick was supportive of it. In the grand scheme of this, the one thing that strikes me again, and it sort of bothers me a little bit, is that here's Donald Trump, and we know what has happened so far in his presidency, and I just don't feel like it's a coincidence that he basically is right now locked in a public relations battle with the two sports leagues in North America, in the United States, that have the highest percentage of black players. He disinvited the Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry from the White House, and he is talking about NFL players, referred to them as SOBs. You know, anybody who kneels is an SOB. So you have the NFL, 70% black. You have the NBA, 74% black. Meanwhile, on his Twitter account, he's praising NASCAR, which is not exactly a bastion of diversity. And he's talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins coming to the White House in the NHL, which is not as diverse as the other leagues. I think that's troubling to a lot of people. And I think the reason for these protests, it's about civil rights. It's about social injustice. It's about a lack of equality in the American criminal justice system. But when you have over 200 players taking a knee the way they did, I thought, as much as anything, that was a protest against the president of the United States, which is why I get a little bit annoyed when people are talking about the protest and saying it's disrespectful, because the last time I checked, that's pretty much what Americans do. They protest the president. Find me a president that had 100% unconditional support. protesting the president is one of the most American things you could do. And I think that's a lot of what happened on Sunday, was that these players were saying, oh, no, you're not going to tell us what we can and can't do on the field. You're not going to tell us what issues we can and can't care about. You're not going to tell us where we can and cannot be in a position to execute our First Amendment rights. We're going to do what we want to do and what we have the right to do as Americans. So I thought the protest was as much against the president as it was for the other issues where it started.
Absolutely. This is what makes the president the great divider, and we all understand that. And I think it doesn't bother him that much, because he had to know this would be the reaction, the blowback. I'm not sure he was aware that what he would do is unite the players and the owners. That was a... I mean, not
That's
even
impossible.
No one can do that. I mean,
yes,
Roger Goodell can't do it.
No.
We can't do it. It's like,
you should negotiate the next CBA.
All of a sudden, you have this man in power who has united owners and players and done something that no one's been able to do in a long, long time. And I think that there was a lot of repudiation of the president when you see the owners on the sideline taking a knee, locked arm in arm with players. This is like, you know what? We're letting our guys do this, and you are wrong to call them out for this. And this isn't even to get into the whole... the president wishing there would be more collisions and you know that they're all soft now and just wishing violence and
those were those were his other set of comments that people in the NFL felt were inappropriate and uninformed. The issue of sort of using the anthem as the platform for the protest is obviously very controversial, and it's very divisive in this country. And Eric Reed of the San Francisco 49ers, who was one of the guys who first started taking a knee with Colin Kaepernick last year, had an op-ed in the New York Times, and he said that he looked at taking the knee as something that was not disrespectful to the military and was intended, basically he said it was the equivalent of flying the flag at half-mast in mourning. What's interesting to me about the whole disrespect of the military angle of this is that I feel like here you have a president who's saying this is disrespectful to the flag and to the troops to have people take a knee during the anthem. Yet at the same time, he's trying to preserve Confederate statues, statues that commemorate people who were part of a renegade republic that had its own flag that wasn't the American flag. How can you be in support of maintaining monuments for people that were traitors to the United States and that killed American troops? So is it really about disrespect, or is it about the fact that he doesn't like and some of the supporters don't like what the issue is?
This is him playing to his base. It's just so obvious. It's the playground bully thing and insulting people and not taking any shot without giving a shot back. But by and large, you're in Alabama, you've got the folks who love you, and you know this is just so easy to stand there and go into this rah-rah thing, and it's just an easy hit to do. It felt good in the moment. It's like throwing the elbow in the crowded elevator. It feels great, and you made your space, but the vibrations that it gives off have not been good. But I'm not even sure he cares about that. I think maybe he accomplished what he's looking for.
Well, it's interesting because I think the perception, at least in some circles of the president, is that he does like to sort of bully people into doing what he wants to do. And if there's one sports league in America you're not going to bully, it's the NFL. That's tough. I mean, good luck with that, Mr. President. I don't think you're going to bully a multi-billion dollar behemoth that pretty much makes its own rules, Deflategate, and bows to no one. There's no way. So I don't see how this is something that's going to ultimately benefit. And I know he's calling for a boycott of the NFL. I don't foresee that. I mean, all these people are not going to watch. What are they going to do with their fantasy football teams, Dan?
Yeah, I think the bounce on this in terms of NFL popularity with attendance or television ratings is minimal. You know, people will say, oh, that's it, I'm never watching the NFL again. They're all back. And as you referenced the fantasy leagues, the betting, the television programming, hey, ratings are going to go down. All ratings go down now. There's just more platforms, more streaming, more places to get the content now. That's going to go down. But it is not because guys took a knee. That's not why it's going down. And in fact, ratings went up last weekend.
They did.
In the wake of this, because people wanted to tune in and see what the hell was going to happen.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the ratings were actually up, and it was really interesting. I'm curious where it goes from here. There was one NFL player today, Tennessee Titans wide receiver Rishard Matthews, who said he's going to continue to kneel during the anthem until the president apologizes. And I think he means, you know, apologizing.
He's going to be kneeling for 4 years.
Well, yeah. Apologizing for calling the players that were doing this SOBs. Yeah. I mean, do you think moving forward that it will be to this degree?
I think this weekend it probably is even bigger than it was last weekend. Eventually, everything, you know, settles down a little bit. It will do that, but you're not going to get the apology for the president. I mean, this is Mr. Double Down. I mean, this will never change for him, and he's satisfied with the reaction of his base, and he thinks he did a good thing. And, Chris, he has also given them immunity from prosecution. They are not going to be punished by their owners now, because that is not the thing that any owner is going to do. They're going to do the opposite of what he instructed them to do. They are now allowing these things openly rather than saying, guys, don't do that.
Yeah, and to that point, just quickly, I mean, you look at the Cleveland Browns owners, Jimmy and Dee Haslam, and they came out and said that their players can do this. They have no problem with it, but that it's a platform the players earned. So, you know, Trump saying this is not the platform, you know, we're going to fire you if you do this. Here's an owner of the Cleveland Browns saying this is a platform that these players earn. All right, Dan, thank you. I appreciate it. Season Ticket is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station, and the Boston Globe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. You can learn more as well at WBUR.org/season ticket.